That's right. It's a great, great gift. We are in Numbers chapter 1 this morning. So if you turn there, it should be the fourth book in your Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 1. And I'll give a slight caution. Last week I covered 46 verses in a short time. But this week I have a short section. I might take a longer time. We'll see how it works. I'll do my best. But we're in Numbers chapter 1. Verse 47. Anybody remember Levi's? My Levi's, people would say. Got your 501s ready? There have been times when a pair... Someone said, yes, I heard that. There have been times when a pair of Levi's was the mark of status, right? They marked you as well off or suave or just plain cool. You fit in because everybody else had these great jeans named Levi's in on. You were special because you were just like everybody else. You know, that's a teenage joke, you know. I want to be cool and unique just like everybody else. But anyway, these Levi's, they belong to me. And that's sort of a wordplay. We'll explain it. As for me, I did check my closet this week. And I've got Wranglers. I've got Faded Glory. Actually, all my jeans should be called Faded Glory. I have a Route 66 pair in there. I know when I should wear those. I'm going to go back east again, huh? And even some Canyon River Blues. That's a good name. This should be a bigger market. But a leather tag with the word Levi, meaning literally Levi, belonging to me, not I. So who were the Levites? Let's move on. Who was Levi? Who were the Levites? And we've talked about God calling a census on his people last week. Who was Levi and who were the Levites? These people were to serve as spiritual security guards for the people of Israel. Last week we looked at the warriors over Israel. They were the military security guards. So if you want a two-point outline for chapter 1, military security guards, spiritual security guards. They contrasted with the other 11, well, the other tribes who served as warriors. Let's review, and I'd like to touch a couple of matters that I left untouched last week that just were on my mind and as my on my heart. So just to review, the book of Numbers opens with people who descended from Jacob. Jacob, who had already moved from being slaves in where? Egypt. And they were becoming nomads en route to the promised land, a land that God himself had promised to give them. He promised he would conquer it with them moving at his command. In chapter 1 of Numbers, they're at Mount Sinai, or we call it Mount Sinai, and there's some who've questioned where this mount is. Perhaps they'll revise the Bible dictionary someday. But we call it Mount Sinai. God revealed himself to them and gave them a special document. We call that document what? The Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. There are 3 million plus people. They needed to establish order, security, and organize themselves to protect themselves as they moved through the desert. So God identified 12 tribal leaders to conduct a census of each tribe. All the males, 20 and older, who could go to battle, they wanted to know how many there were. They did that last week. But we see this list in Numbers 1, and I thought there were a couple of things that were just really neat as I looked at this list. And so I'd like you to turn back to Numbers 1. It would be beginning in verse 5 in a moment. And I'm going to read the list and just supply the meaning, the believed meaning of each name as you go through. Why is that significant? Each of these names, almost to a man, has a meaning that says something great about God. That is cool. We call those theophoric names. And so they're just very interesting because they say something about their confidence in God. I'm just going to run through the list beginning to verse 5. These leaders were Reuben, or from the tribe of Reuben, Eliezer, my God is a rock, the son of Shedeur, Shaddai is a flame. From the tribe of Simeon, Shelumiel, meaning my peace is God, the son of Zuri Shaddai, my rock is Shaddai. From Judah, Nashan, serpentine, the son of Aminadab, meaning my people are noble. Issachar, from that tribe, Nethanel, meaning God has given, the son of Zuar, little one. From the tribe of Zebulun, Eliab, meaning my God is father, the son of Helon, rampart-like. From Manasseh, Gamaliel, the reward of God, the son of Pedahzur, the ransomed rock. From Benjamin, Abidan, my father, implying God, is judge. The son of Gideoni, my hewer. From Dan, Achiezer, my brother, meaning God, is help. The son of Amishadai, my kinsman, or God, is Shaddai. From Asher, Pagiel, met by God. The son of Achran, trouble. From Gad, Eliasaph, God has added. The son of Duel, no God. Naphtali, from that tribe, Ahira, my brother is evil. Son of Enan, seeing. Wow. Interesting names. And actually, I think we ran across Elisama, and I saw it again this week, which is one of Pastor Diaz's daughters, right? Great. Right. What about names like these? These names are specially picked, but what if someone doesn't have a name that's specially picked? Does that mean they have less confidence in God? Not necessarily. No. It just, you know, those who have these names have a lifelong opportunity to proclaim the glory behind the name that that this represents. You say, really? Sure. How about the common name? We'll pick a common one. John. John. You hear it all over the place. In Russian, it's Ivan. In Spanish, it's Juan. In other places, I don't know how it's all rendered. You know, in French, it's something else as well. But all these names, John, actually comes from the Hebrew word kanan, meaning grace. If your name happens to be John, Jonathan, Johann, Janice, anything like this, you have a perfect opportunity to say, you know, my name might be John, but that reminds me of where my name came from. It came from the word grace. And that reminds me of Noah 6:8, or Genesis 6:8, where Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what John means, grace. And his grace was to save 8 persons when the whole known world deserved to be destroyed by flooding. Wow. Well, that might surprise someone if you do that, but I think it'd be a lot of fun, don't you? It is actually fun. Just as an aside, our hearts do go out to those who are impacted by a flood this weekend. The flooding in Manitou Springs and Ute Pass, where water gushed down from the Williams Canyon. You know, it did make me not only pray, but it made me think, you know, perhaps is there something we should rearrange in our church ministry schedule the next few days or weeks and be of help? If you have thoughts on that, speak to our staff. We'd love to put something together and extend hands and feet as well as prayer. We might have to sacrifice something to do that. But one question that came up is, did these people deserve that flood? No. Not more than anyone else does. You know, Romans 3:23, it says, how many have sinned? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And as one of my friends in the last week pointed out, he said, Jonathan, everybody's going to die. It's just a matter of some go faster and some get to live longer. The judgment, physical judgment, is the same. So it's appointed to men once to die and after this the judgment. And it reminded me of what Jesus said when someone said, you know, they asked the same question. Were these people worse because they went through a tragedy and said, no, that Tower of Siloam fell and it killed 8 persons. Why? He says, that's not the point. Why? The point is, unless you repent, you likewise will perish. Luke 13. Let's go back to the names. Back to grace. Back to the names. How about the name Naomi? That means pleasant. All Naomis have the privilege to talk about God's grace coming through his son, and his son coming through the unlikely marriage of an abandoned pair of widows going through a famine in the book of Ruth. What if you're not named Naomi, but you meet widows? You can talk about God's grace, can't you? Talk about Ruth. Talk about Naomi. What if your name is Grace? Oh my, lots of opportunities. Well, this is just an application moment. A moment to say, hey, what is your name? And how can you use it to relate it to the gospel? These men were named, had special names, and they had the privilege, hopefully they thought about it a lot, and used it to say, God is the object of my confidence, not myself. Andrew, manly, talk about the greatest man. Timothy, well, I've learned a lot from a bunch of letters written to a guy named Timothy. It's another Timothy. And we have a pastor who can do that. Sure. Joshua, the Lord saves, not me. Well, you say, I don't have a theophoric name. Well, are you a Christian? You have that name. Little Christ, I'm told it means. And you can say, you know, I my name may be Sam, but I'm a Christian. Let me tell you about the one who gave me that name. I get to be called a child of God, a son or daughter of God. Isn't that amazing? It's almost unbelievable, isn't it? Could I tell you how that happened? And off you run. There you've just explained the opportunity, the gospel to somebody. Wow. Well, back to Numbers 1. Okay. Just an applicational aside. Another question I wanted to answer from Numbers 1 is this. Does the different size of the tribes relate at all to Jacob's prophetic blessing in Genesis 49? The answer is yes, it does. But how? Well, the 12 tribes and their prominence or their place. Well, look at the list. Which tribe is the largest as you scan through it? How many thousands of people are in the tribes? Some of them have maybe 50,000, right? Any 60s? Can't tell yet. Any 60s? Looking for bidders. Dan? Any greater than 60s? Judah. Judah has 74,600 people. Is that significant? Oh, yeah. Very significant. Look at that. They top the list, and we read in chapter 2 of Numbers, verse 9, they're going to lead them through the wilderness. They're going to be on the front of this great shape of people moving through the wilderness. But Judah, you're not first. Look back to the birth order. The title of firstborn should have belonged to Reuben. Yeah. But remember what Papa Jacob said on his deathbed. And I'm going to remind you from Genesis 49, Reuben, you are unstable as water. You shall not have preeminence because you went up to your father's bed and defiled it. Oops. Okay. He doesn't get the firstborn blessing. How about Simeon? He's next. Simeon and Levi, you are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Cursed be their anger, for it's fierce. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Wow. Simeon and Levi led the attack on those who took advantage of their daughter Dinah. And their father said, you overreacted. And it's probably characteristic of these two that they constantly overreacted with anger. I'm going to split them up, he says. How about the next one? Who's the next one? Judah. What did Jacob say? Your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, or Pastor and Tim and I love to sit and just exult over this fun passage. We think it means, I believe we both think it means, until him to whom it belongs comes. Until the one to whom the scepter, the royal scepter belongs, comes. And he says, you are going to be the line from which all the kings over Israel are going to come. Over the true tribe, the nation of Israel. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Wow. So when we look at this list, you say, well, that's just a bunch of numbers. Can't we just skip that? I'm so glad I did. Because it shows God's grace. It shows God's promise is carried out. It shows his goodness and that he does do what he says he'll do. What about the other brothers? Well, I mean, this is 400 years after Jacob's death. Is his prophetic blessing still working out? Oh, yeah. The tribe of Judah is preeminent. The other brothers, well, some we can't tell too much about. But when we look at Simeon, Simeon's going to receive land. And guess where it's going to be? Inside Judah's territory. Judah conquers all the southern part, and Simeon's got the little part inside. God scattered Simeon and left him divided in the midst. What about Levi? Well, he's going to live in 48 different cities scattered throughout the land of Israel. Now, they're going to have a special role, but God did scatter them as he said he would do. What about Joseph? His father said, Joseph, you will be a fruitful bough. You will be set apart from your brothers. And he was. He has two sons who got to be tribal leaders. Ephraim with 40,500, Manasseh with 32,200. Wow, that's neat. I hope that's encouraging to you, that when a godly man speaks, and God speaks prophetically through him, God accomplishes what he said he'll do. He did. Well, let's move on to see this in Numbers chapter 1, verses 47 through 54. And I have a three-point outline. I'll probably just introduce it. briefly today. But Numbers chapter 1, verses 47 through 54. God answers three questions about the Levites' place in the nation of Israel. Three questions. Let's look at verse 47. But the Levites were not listed with them by their ancestral tribe. For the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Only the tribe of Levi you shall not list, and you shall not take a census of them among the people of Israel. But appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, over all its furnishings, over all that belongs to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They shall take care of it, and shall camp around the tabernacle. When the tabernacle is to set out, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. The people of Israel shall pitch their tents by their companies, each man in his own camp, and each man by his own standard. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the people of Israel. And the Levites shall keep guard over the tabernacle of the testimony. Thus did the people of Israel. They did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses." So three questions here. Number one question. 3-point outline. Why weren't the Levites counted? Verses 47 through 49 say they were to be a separated tribe. A separated tribe. Question two. What are the Levites to do if they're not to be warriors, for example? They are to be the serving tribe. Verses 50 and 51. The serving tribe. Question three. Why guard the tabernacle? They are to be the shielding tribe. Verses 52 through 54. In some sense, the answer to all these three questions can be the same. These are spiritual security guards. That's why they're separated. That's why they're serving. That's why they're shielding. Just like the other tribes were to be military security guards, the Levites were to protect spiritual health in the nation of Israel. And I am hotly debating whether to do everything or clip it. Pastor Tim, what do you think? Okay. Well, I don't know. He didn't give me any answer. Let's unfold this brief, concise explanation of the Levites' place in Israel. First question, why weren't they counted? Because they were a separated tribe, verse 47 through 49. God commanded it to be this way. That's the number one easy reason, right? We always say it as parents. Sometimes. Because I said so. That means you aren't going to understand all the reasons. I'm not being an autocrat. I'm doing this for your good and because it's right. God said so. But the second reason is the Levites were going to belong to God in a very unique way. In what way? Well, they were going to serve around the tabernacle. And as I thought through this, I said, well, I thought that was the role of the priests. Aren't all priests equal to Levites and all Levites equal to priests? Well, this is something I'd like to untangle just a little. The answer is no, they are not. All Levites are not priests, but all priests are from the line of Aaron. And Aaron's tribe was Levi, right? I don't know why it took me till I was 51 to figure that out exactly. But Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, they were all from the tribe of Levi. So all of Aaron's descendants were Levites. But the Levites were more than Aaron's family. But all the priests came just from Aaron's line. Make sense? He was the first priest God picked. And all the priests came from his bloodline. The Levites, all of his other relatives in that tribe, they were to be assistants to the priest, to help him. So if you weren't a direct descendant from Aaron, you cannot be a priest in Israel. Contrary to all the wacko things in Book of Judges. You had to be from Aaron's line. Yeah. What were they to do? They were to offer burnt offerings. We will find the priests were leading people in worship and confession. They would teach truths God spoke through Moses and the prophets. And I love Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. I just have to read it. Because it says what a priest, which is one portion of Levites, was supposed to do. Verse 7, Malachi 2. The lips of a priest should guard knowledge. People should seek instruction from his mouth. Why? For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The priest's job was to guard what God said. They were to protect it, and that's one reason they call this the Tabernacle of Testimony. Because in the tabernacle, there was the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of Covenant? Two very special documents called the Ten Commandments. Yeah. And the Levites were guarding all this, and the priests were guarding the teaching of that. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. So the Levites were not priests, but why did God choose them? Well, it's very interesting historically. The first answer is a cool wordplay, and I'm convinced God likes wordplay. It's taken my wife about 21 years to start to think they're fun. But she is finally popping her own wordplays when we least expect it, which is nice. Thank you, honey. God likes wordplays, I think, because it makes it easier for us to remember stuff. It was a wordplay. What do you mean? Well, who was Levi's mother? Levi's mother was Leah. And she had four sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Sounding familiar again, huh? I was so amazed at how cool this fit together. And when Levi, the third one, was born, she said, "Oh no, maybe my husband will be attached to me. So I'll name this baby belonging to me." Like, I want my husband to be stuck to me. Because I've borne him three sons. And I thought, well, that's an original title for a film story. But anyway. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Genesis 29:34. But the second reason is that God's choice of Levites goes back to the early days of the Exodus when they were camped at Mount Sinai. Remember, Moses went way up the mountain and the people just began to say, "Where is that Moses? Doesn't he know what time the meeting's supposed to start? Come on, Moses. We've been waiting. We aren't going to wait around for you a long time, Moses. We might just go home if you don't show up." You know, I'm sure none of us have ever thought that at any church event before. But that's what they thought. And so they said, "You know, we don't see God. We don't see Moses returning. So, whoosh, we have a golden calf. Somebody built one. Hey, let's worship that." And so they bowed down and worshiped the golden calf. Something they could make, something they could do without God's word there. And so they did. Wow. Where was Moses? He was listening to God write with his finger on stone. That was something written in stone. They broke their covenant with God. Well, how do the Levites come into this? Well, all the tribes were in chaos before Moses got down the hill. But when he came down, he saw this and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Guess who answered? Moses' clan, of course. The tribe of Levi said, "We are on the Lord's side," like the song we sang a Sunday or two ago. And they ran up and they got their swords, and Moses said, "Slay all those who are not turning from this idolatry." And they did it. The tribe of Levi was special. They answered. They stepped up to the plate and showed zeal for God's honor. What about Aaron and his sons? Hadn't they been set apart for the priesthood before this? Sure. But they needed lots of helpers. And so now God says, "I'm going to make the Levites, they're going to be your assistants to all the priests." God chose them for this honor. Why pick a tribe? Well, this came from a concept known as first fruits. What do you mean? Remember when they were in Egypt? How God, what was the last plague that came on the Egyptians? It was the death of the firstborns. And for the Israelites, God had instructed them, said, "If you believe that I will protect you by doing what's right, then you need to take a spotless lamb and its blood and put it on your doorpost to show that you're trusting me." The Egyptians, who had lots of gods, didn't do that. The Israelites did. And when the death angel came, he killed all the firstborns of Egypt. That's considered leadership in most nations. And he took them all. When it came to Israelites, the death angel passed over those who had blood protecting them. And one of the outcomes of this was that the Israelites got to go free from Egypt. Another outcome was that the firstborn, every firstborn Israelite, became God's special property, dedicated to him. in memorial of delivering the Israelites from slavery. But, now go forward a little bit. Golden Calf Incident. I call it the Defense of Monotheism Act. The Levites were chosen to serve the sanctuary as an honor for their valor, for God's name and His glory. And God said, I'm going to make the Levites mine. Yep, I claimed all the firstborns, but I'm going to exchange. The Levites is a tribe. There's an organization. Now they will lead and guide the worship that belongs to me. God replaced the firstborn sons of Israel with the Levites as representatives of His special people. Well, what are the Levites to do? They are to be the serving tribe. Look at verses 50 and 51 with me. Appoint the Levites over the tabernacle, the testimony, and over all its furnishings, over all that belongs to it. They're to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They shall take care of it, shall camp around the tabernacle. When the tabernacle is to set out, the Levites shall take it down. When the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. If any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. Wow. The serving tribe is responsible for a place where the living God of the whole universe is to be worshipped. None other is real. That's their job. Make sure it's put up right. Make sure it's brought down right. Make sure it's protected while they travel. Judah, the tribe, is in front. The priests do the work of the ministry and the sacrifices. But the Levites guard and surround and protect it. And they didn't just guard by saying, you know, no, you can't come in. They were more like sunglasses, mean looks, swords in hands. No, you're not crossing there. They were very serious. They transported it. They cared for it. They cleaned it. They cared for it. They guarded it from violators. They protected God's people from experiencing God's wrath. You say, is that important? Yeah, it is. It really is. They were there for special purposes. And there's more. But let's move to the third question. Why guard the temple? Because they were the shielding tribe. Verses 53 through 54 tell us they were there to honor God's presence. And secondly, they were there to protect God's people. They served as a protective hedge. A hedge against people who would either not know what's right and wrong and violate the tabernacle. Or be hard-headed and willful and say, I don't care about this God. Let's see. You're going to care, but you're not going to care, but you're going to not care alive, or you're going to die. And they wouldn't let them through to defile the tabernacle. So it was a positive thing. God protected people. It was an act of His grace to put these spiritual security guards there. But there's a negative thing, too. There was a cursing for anyone who refused to give Him the honor and glory He rightfully deserved. We always want to give Him what He deserves. Why do that? Verse 53a says, lest wrath fall. Interestingly enough, the Septuagint, so one of our translations came and said, lest sin fall. I guess they wanted to move it to the human responsibility and not say that God is full of, God has any wrath in Him. But let's let God be God, huh? Let's let Him be manly about it. Let God be God, or you're worshiping a false God, a false view of God. He judges sin. Wow. So they're there to protect negatively and positively. And they're to care for the tabernacle. There's a word, care for it. It's just written as this way. You must care about taking care of the tabernacle. Shamar Mishmereth. It says it twice. Yeah. Wow. But would God really kill someone if they did that? Sure. It's a side question, but an important question. How could God objection? How could God order anyone to kill any human? Well, He does. When they disobey Him, the wages of sin is death. None of us deserve life. It's by the grace of God we live and breathe. But God did do that at times. The reality is we're all going to die. And Psalm 110 verse 5 says, the Lord of the universe will shatter kings in the day of His wrath. For some, this comes after a long life. Some, it comes early. Romans 2:4 says it's the kindness of God that leads people to repent, to turn away from sin. Titus 2:11 through 14 says the grace of God teaches us to live godly lives. So God is not just judgment. God is gracious. He sends His truth through messengers. You're hearing it today in the Word of God. You're hearing it. Wow. God is at work to take away the impact of sin. Aren't you glad? I'm really glad. He's done that in Mexico in 11 churches plus. He's doing it here in our lives. Well, how do we apply all of this? One way to apply it is to think, what about a place of worship? It's really not emphasized in the New Testament, though. Oh, what do we do about that? Well, let me just say it, friend. I think our people take great care of the place where we do meet to worship. We treat it with respect and maintain it well. And if we had modern Levites, at least some of them would probably be named Mark L and Mark C, Todd, ushers and deacons and secretaries and many more. Others who help keep a place of worship, a place that's uplifting and distinctive. Another application. What about the best way? Another best way to apply this would be to simply read God's Word with respect. To treat it with reverence and joy, not throwing it around. Not forgetting it, not ignoring it. I know the Bible says that, but that's not what God wants. Treating Him with the glory He deserves. What about dress code? The priest had a dress code. Sorry, Paul didn't tell Timothy anything about dress code. But when we appear to worship God, we want to muster all the honor we can give Him in a way that's fitting, whatever fitting is, as you worship Him. So let me just say, as a New Testament believer, closing, you are a spiritual priest. You are to be separated like the Levites. 1 Peter 1:16 calls you holy. You're part of a holy priesthood. You're to be serving. 1 Peter 4:10 says, let us exercise the gifts God's given you. You're to be a shield. You're to be believers who shield others from God's wrath by telling them the truth of the gospel. You can be like the Levites. But I'm going to fail. Yep, you are. You and I are going to fail in representing God and fail at times in bringing people to God. But did you know you and I have the privilege of access to the highest ranking man who ever lived? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if your faith is in Him, He has loved you. And if your faith isn't in Him, He has demonstrated His love for you by dying for your sin. And yet He never sinned. You can bow your knee. You can turn from sin. You can put your faith in Christ alone as Savior. You can trust Him as the great High Priest and be someone who acts like a Levite, bringing other people to Him. Why? He lives evermore to intercede for those whose faith is in Him. Like Psalm 2 says, how blessed are all those who find refuge in Him. So there we have it. 8 verses, a little longer than the first 46. But what a neat, neat thing that God chose someone to teach us how to be reconciled with Him. I hope you count that as a treasure. And I hope you love Christ. And consider yourself in the role similar to that of a Levite under Christ Himself as great High Priest. Let's pray. Father, what a beautiful, beautiful, rich passage this has been. What an amazing God You are. We love You. We thank You for Your grace. God, that You would call us Your own and put us in Your family is something we don't deserve. And the Levites, they didn't deserve it either. Thank You for Your Son. Give us energy to serve wholeheartedly, to point people to You, not to ourselves. We look forward to how You will bless Your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. While you're being dismissed, we're going to roll just some of the pictures from Mexico. You're welcome to linger and just watch them, but they will roll as you're dismissed. Come back tonight and learn a little bit about what God has done through missions in our church.